Days out in our yeshiva and even on this bus. So we're going to go through the yisoid, the dynamic, and then we're going to find it in the relationship between Cain and Hevel, in the relationship between Yaakov and Esav, in the relationship between Rachel and Leah, in the relationship between Yosef and Yehuda, in the relationship between Yeshua and Kalev, and then we'll translate it into what's relevant for us. But the Yesod begins as follows. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, so in the beginning it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Rakia B'Tzoi Chamayim, there should be a Rakia, a space in the water, and it should serve as a separation between the two waters. Vihi Mavdil Bein Mayim Lamayim. So you have the upper waters, and you had the lower waters. Chazal tell us that the lower waters were very, very upset. And the lower waters came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they said the words that echo through the generations. They said, Anan be'inan lemehave kame malka. We also want to be in front of the king. You sent us away from you. You have the upper waters, that's kaviyocha, like near HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you have the lower waters, that's such a distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol. We also want to be in front of the king. In fact, some say that the reason why when we cry, salty tears come out of our eyes is because the first Nivra that cried was the salty water. And that's why Dema'is is something that happens from crying. In any event, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised this salty water that it will find itself on the Mizbeach, in the form of the salt by the karbanos, al kol karbancha takriv melach, and in the form of the water of the nisuch hamayim on Sukkos. But here's the fascinating dynamic: the upper waters that are close to Hashem, and the lower waters that have to fight to get there. Another mashal of the dynamic. We say in the morning in the Hallelukas, we say Hallelu es Hashem in Hashamayim. And we describe how the heavens praise Hashem. Unbelievable praises, all the Nivraim, all the creations that exist in the Shamayim. And then we sum that up, and about halfway through the Mizmar, we sum that up, and we say, Yehallelu es Shem Hashem, Ki hu tziva v'nivra'u, because He commanded, and they were created. Which is a shevach. It kind of sounds like, because they did their job. And then we say Hallelujah Hashem in Ha'aretz. Praise Hashem from the Aretz. And then we describe all the parts of the earth that praise Hashem. The fish and the animals and the people. Bachurim v'gam besulay zakenim in Na'arim. And then we say they should Yehallelujah Hashem Hashem. And we don't just say because they did what they're supposed to. We say Yehallelujah Hashem Hashem. Ki nizgav shmoy levadai. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is like is above and beyond, a much higher, more esoteric praise than that which was given by the Shamayim. And we see here an unbelievable yesod, and that is that although the Shamayim is closer to Hashem, has an easier time serving Hashem, is enveloped in spirituality, but when it does its job, the praise that it brings to Hashem is just that, the praise that it did its job. But this world is a world of Hester. This is a world of darkness. This is a world that's more distant from Hashem, and it's harder to serve Hashem. And it's more susceptible to pitfalls along the way. But when this world serves Hashem, through its challenges, and it lifts itself up towards Hashem, that's Nizgav Shmoy Levadai. That's above and beyond. That's a much more incredible feat, even than the praise of the Shamayim. And the world needs, and this is what we're going to discover, the world needs Shamayims and Aretzes. The world needs that paradigm of spirituality, that pristine spirituality that's represented by the Shamayim. And some people represent that Seder of Avodah, of living in the Shamayim. And the world needs its Aretzes, its people that go down into the world where it's dark, where it's difficult, where it's gloomy, where it's dangerous, and they lift up the flag of serving Hashem even in those places. Now, sometimes the Aretz people succeeded, and as we'll see, sometimes they failed miserably. But the relationship, the dynamic that exists that you find in so many generations, and as you'll see, it plays out probably in many of the yeshivas that you were in. You'll see your shamayims and your aretzes. That this dynamic together of the shamayims and aretz. Okay, this was the yisoid. Now let me show it to you in Kayin v'Hevel, in Yaakov and Esav, and so on. So Kayin and Hevel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a world. Adam HaRishon does a chait, and eventually his two sons, Kayin and Hevel, take on two different roles in the world. Kayin works the ground. Hevel is a shepherd. Chazal tell us that Hevel was a shepherd on purpose. Hevel was a shepherd because he did not want to work the ground, because the ground had been cursed by Hashem. The Aretz, that dark Aretz, had been cursed by Hashem. And Hevel didn't want to work the ground. So Hevel tried to keep as far away from the ground as possible, so he worked with animals. But Kayin decided to work the ground. And in the beginning, Kayin's avodah was L'shem Shamayim. And you see this in the Pasuk, because the Pasuk, whose idea was it to bring a carbon? Was it Kayin's or was it Hevel's? It's pretty clear in the Pesukim, not all Mefarshim hold this way, but most. The simple reading of the Pesukim is that Kayin decided to bring a carbon. Clearly his goal was to serve Hashem. The Hevel Hevi Gam Hu, Hevel also brought, but it was Kayin's idea. So Kayin was trying to do the Aretz job. He was trying to take even the earth that Hashem cursed and bring it close to Hashem. And it came with tremendous nisyonos. And it was very, very difficult. And he actually did not succeed, because when Hevel brought his Shamayim carbon, so to speak, and it was accepted right away because it was a much easier job, even though it was also beloved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but relative to Kayin's, it was a much easier job. Kayin became jealous of Hevel. And in tremendous pain, the Pasuk says. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tried to calm Kayin down. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Lama chara lach v'lama naflu panecha, why are you bitzar? And why has your face fallen? Haloyiv teitiv, if you will do good, se'es. The Ramban on that Pasuk says that se'es is a lashon of lifting. If you will do good, you will be higher than your brother. That's the yisay that we said. The Shamayim is amazing, but when the Aretz meets the Shamayim, it's even more amazing. Im teitev Hashem bekt Kayin. If you'll hang on a little bit, se'es, you'll be even higher than Hevel. But unfortunately, Kayin did not succeed in that, and he ended up killing Hevel, and that partnership was broken. Years later, the Shloah HaKadosh says that the partnership between Kayin and Hevel is reincarnated in the partnership between Yaakov and Esav. Yitzchak had two children, and that brings us to this week's parsha. Yitzchak had two children, Yaakov and Esav, and Yitzchak's plan, and indeed the Svarim say HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan, was that Yaakov and Esav should work together to bring the honor of Hashem into this world. Esav, we'll start with Yaakov. Yaakov is the Ish Tam Yoshev Ayhalim. He sits in the Shamayim. The Beis Medrash is like the Shamayim. He sits enveloped in spirituality. He doesn't venture out into the world. He's just completely connected to the spiritual. He's the paradigm of spirituality. And Esav is the Ish Sadeh. Esav is the one who was meant to go out there and to spread the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to bring the word of Hashem, to be a Talmud of Yaakov's, and to go out and spread the will of Hashem and the existence of Hashem throughout the world. That should have been the partnership between Yaakov and Esav, but of course, Esav rejected that partnership. Listen to this. When Yaakov went into Yitzchak, Yitzchak decided to give his bracha to Esav. Of course, now we understand why. Esav had a big job to do. He had to spread the Ratzon Hashem in the world. And Yitzchak wanted to give him a bracha. Yaakov went in and stole the bracha. What did Yaakov say to Yitzchak? He said to his father, Anoichi Esav b'chayrecha. I am Esav, your Bechar. So the Mefarshim struggle to try to make it not such a big lie. But the way we're describing it, it wasn't a lie at all. Yaakov was going in and telling his father, "Father, originally you wanted me to be Yaakov and him to be Esav, and as partners we would spread the Ratzon Hashem. But he's rejected his role. And now, Anoichi Esav b'chayrecha, I will do the role of both Yaakov and Esav." And from that moment on, it became the role of Klal Yisrael to do both, to live in the Shamayim and the Aretz. It became the role of our nation to have our Yaakovs and to have our Esavs, not in a bad way, not the Russia Esav, to have our Tzaddik Yaakovs and our Tzaddik Esavs, the way Esav was supposed to be. That sometimes some members of our nation live in the Shamayim in different ways. And they're the paradigm of the way things are supposed to be. And then there are others in our nation whose job is to spread that will of Hashem to every dark corner of the universe. It's interesting. I want to hear something amazing. Years later, when Yaakov was heading back to Eretz Yisrael, so he sent a message to Esav, and he called Esav his master, Adoni Esav, my master Esav. And the Svarim say that he called Esav his master because he was attempting to bring Esav back to do his job. And he was telling Esav, Imtetiv Se'es, you could be the master here. You're the greater one. And he told Esav, I have tons of animals. And Rashi says he was telling Esav, the bracha was that I would have land, but I don't have any land. What was he saying? He was saying, Esav, I haven't taken Cain's job yet. I'm still only still just the shepherd. You'll notice the first thing he did after he met Esav and realized that it wasn't happening is Vayiken es chelkas hasada. He buys a piece of land. He realizes that's it. He has to enter the Esav business as well. Now, it's amazing if you think about it. Rachel and Leah, we know her eyes were soft from crying, because she was always crying, Rashi says, because they used to say that the older one, meaning Leah, should go to Esav, and the younger one, Rachel, should go to Yaakov. Well, you know something? They were right. Had Esav been a tzaddik, it would have been ra'oi that the Yaakov job would go to Rachel, and the Esav job would go to Leah. The idea that Yaakov had to marry two wives, well, now it makes a little bit more sense to us, because he was filling the role of both partners. And he needed that Eishes Chayil for the first side of his job and for the second side of his job. So now we did Cain and Hevel, we did Yaakov and Esav, we did Rachel and Leah. Let's move on. You find that among the children of Rachel and Leah, you find the same thing. Rachel's son is Yosef, and Leah's son is Yehuda. Both Yosef and Yehuda have encounters with Averis. Yosef has an encounter with Eishes Potiphar, and Yehuda has an encounter with Tamar. Yosef teaches us the strength of not doing the Avera to begin with. Yehuda teaches us the strength. In fact, on David HaMelech, it says that he was the descendant of Yehuda. It says that he was Hakim Oila Shel Tshuva with David and Bathsheba. But Yosef teaches us, Yosef is in the Shamayim. He teaches us how to remain distant from Avera. Yehuda is in the Aretz. He teaches us how to deal with the darkness when I've succumbed to Avera. Both Yehuda filling the Leah role, the Esav role, and Yosef filling the Rachel role, the Yaakov role. There are some who say that the reason why the brothers threw Yosef in the pit is because Yosef was like his mother. He was a completely aloof. He lived in the Shamayim. The Sfasemes calls him Bechinas Shabbos. And the brothers felt like he cannot be he says he's having these dreams that he's going to be a melech. How could he be their melech when they are the Messiah of the Leah Messiah? It's not an appropriate melech. So they threw him into a bar so that he should get a little bit of a taste of the Avodas Hashem of trying to climb out of a pit. And only when he was taken out of the bar was he roi to become Yosef HaTzadik and to be able to be the leader of all of Klal Yisrael. One more, and then we'll get to Halacha L'maisa. Yeshua and Kalev. Yeshua is a descendant of Rachel. Kalev is a descendant of Yehuda. Yeshua ben Nun and Kalev ben Yefuna are the two spies who stay loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But one does it as a descendant of Rachel, and one does it as a descendant of Leah. I'm not going to go into this ba'arichos, but you could take a look at the Chafetz Chaim al HaTorah and Parsha Shlach, where he tracks all the Divrei Chazal about Kalev and Yeshua. Yeshua was the Kanoi. He wouldn't budge an inch. That's why he needed a tefillah in the beginning, because Moshe didn't do that for Kalev, because he knew that Kalev was the one that lives. He's more the Aretz person. He lives with the, you know, a little more flexible, a little more dealing with the chait, or with the turn in the wrong direction. But Yeshua is the pristine Shamayim Mahalach, that it can't be touched by anything that's remotely Aretzdik. So therefore, Yeshua is the one who needs that special Shmirah. Kalev goes to Davin by the Kivrei Avos, that he shouldn't be turned by the Meraglim. Because Kalev is the one who's working in the trenches. You know, he's the one working, struggling on with dealing with those that are turning away. So therefore, he's the one who's being flexible. So therefore, he needs the Shmirah that he shouldn't turn away. You find this with Rabbeim, Rabbi Say, and you find it with Talmidim. Sometimes, and you could think through the people that you know, the types of Talmidei Chachamim that you know, and you could, okay, everything is relative, and we don't want to stereotype, and there's a spectrum on both sides, but sometimes you have people that stand as a model of what an Adam is supposed to be. Like if you heard the Mashgiach describe Rav Aaron Schechter, Zichrono Livracha, he would fit into that mold of someone. Of course, he was very understanding about the Aretz, but the man, Mashgiach is Maskim, the man lived in the Shamayim. He was, you know, the Mashgiach was just telling me that he asked him a question about the internet many years ago. I won't say the whole response now, you can ask him for it. But the response went back to the entire reason for an Adam living in this world. That's how he looked at everything. And you had to live up to that. There was no room for because he represented that pristine paradigm of Ruchnius. He doesn't budge. Other Rosh Yeshiva, other Manhigim, other Makarvim especially, other people, they are willing to go down and into the trenches with Klal Yisrael. They're willing to walk that difficult walk with people in dark places to bring them back to Hashem. You find the derech of Yaakov, the derech of Esav. Even just that we find that there are people that spend their life in the Beis Medrash, and then people that go out into the world and spread the word of Hashem in the world. We see from this Mahalach through Chumash that both of those jobs are the jobs of Yaakov Avinu. Both of those jobs are our mission. We need our Asara Batlanim that just sit in the Beis Medrash, and they're the paradigm of pure Kedusha. And we need to go out and spread the Dvar Hashem and make a Kiddush Hashem by every coffee machine in Manhattan. And you see it, Rabbi Yisai, by Talmidim also. The Sfarim tell us that there are some people who naturally are drawn to Kedusha. Those are the guys that you get annoyed that they don't seem like they have a Yetzihara. The guys that just like, they just love to learn. The guys that when the Rosh Hashiva said it would be a good idea if you want to wake up early to just learn the whole night, they were like, oh, that's a great idea, why didn't I think of it? Those guys. Those are the Yaakov guys. But there are also a very, very, very important and chashuv part of Klal Yisrael are the people that deal with Yetziharas that are bigger than that, and that deal with difficulties and confusion and anxiety and struggles and disappointments. And don't ever think that the Shamayims, that the person who seems to be like that Hashem forgot to give him a Yetzihara, don't ever think that you can never reach him. Remember the lesson of Imtetiv Se'es. Remember the lesson of Adoni Esav. And remember that if you're one of the Aretz people, if you're one of the people that struggles with living in 2023, if you're one of the people that has a journey to be able to reach a level of Kedusha and Tzidkus, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending you on a journey to become something even greater than the one that doesn't have to contend with that darkness. And I think it's a lens that we could look at so many things. Even now tonight, having been by a rally and seeing such a wide level of Yidden, each one trying to do their best from what they understand and what they know, it helps to understand what the Rosh Hashiva mentioned in passing a few times over the last week when he was talking about the rally, that Klal Yisrael has many jobs. And different parts of Klal Yisrael have the opportunity and the schus to do different jobs. Yashar Koyach, Rabbi Yisai, enjoy the rest of the trip.